Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 52. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week we give you a little bit of news and then jump into a fandom, and this week it's going to be magic. No, really, just wait. I am the lovely and talented assistant, Brandon Uscio, and replacing a recovering Nick is Jeff Dumas.
How do you get a magician to show you 1,000 card tricks? You ask him to show you one.
Oh, I remember being a kid learning a card trick and be like, hey guys, look at this. And then you want to see a card trick? And the answer would always be no. Regardless, it's like, well, too bad. Pick a card.
Well, so. Yeah, I'm doing the trick. Whether or not you want to participate is up to you.
That was more of a rhetoric question than anything else.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Okay, so Nick is out. We're going to excuse him this week, but just barely. He has caught a bug, so we're letting him off this week. But Jeff is going to join us, and he, I'm sure, do just as good of a job as ever.
If not, I'm sure someone will tell me.
Oh, we've got a great audience. That's one of the things that I have really been enjoying about doing this podcast is that the people who listen and feedback are just, they've been very, very nice because I'm sure that they could tell me some other things too.
I'm worried about Nick.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll tell you. So last week we had a Boy Wonder trivia, and the question was, what century did Firefly take place during? And we have a winner to that question. Good job, Nathan. Nate had the trivia answered within hours of the launch of the podcast, which, you know, it kind of makes sense for him. For the long-time listeners of the podcast, Nate was on the first 20 or so episodes, and he is possibly the biggest Firefly fan that I know, and I'm sure that that didn't require any rewatching or Googling for the answer. So this week's question, and this is going to tie into the news just a little bit. This week's question, and I'll tell you, it's not quite a Boy Wonder trivia because we're missing Nick here.
So it's more overgrown Asian trivia.
Kind of second in ranking to the Boy Wonder trivia. But, and I'm sure everyone knows this answer, but it's one that it's a fun story for me to think about. Which character is Deadpool supposedly a parody of? Deadpool is supposedly a parody of a DC character. I'll give you that hint right there. So if you know that answer, be sure to let us know on our Facebook page or send us an email, feedback@fandompodcast.com. I'm sure you knew that one right off the top of your head, didn't you, Jeff?
I did, but mostly because I've seen a few things online saying, oh, it's, some people argue that he's not and others say they do, but yeah, it's, I'd be surprised if he wasn't a parody of this character.
Yeah, it's once you start seeing it, the parallels are quite obvious, and it's really kind of funny because, you know, Deadpool has changed into something that is completely different from this character, but...
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, they have very few things in common, but initially they're the same at first.
Yes. So another reason why I picked that question is because it would lead us into our top news. So the number one top news that I wanted to talk about this week is the movie Deadpool. Right now, it is the highest grossing X-Men movie in the franchise ever. And wow. that is done by having $235 million in the bank after just a couple weeks. Yeah. Does that surprise you that none of the other X-Men movies did this well, Jeff?
It is surprising that this essentially fan film, if you listen to Ryan Reynolds and all them, it's essentially a fan film that has surpassed these big studio movies. I mean, the previous record was the X-Men The Last Stand, which really wasn't the best. I'll say it. It was probably one of the worst. But it's still surprising that that one was even at the top before.
Yeah. So that one...
I'm not surprised. Surprised Deadpool has reached it. I personally still haven't seen it. I was supposed to go with Nick, but I wasn't feeling well. I sense a pattern. But it's... Yeah, I really want to see it, but it's... just been too many obstacles lately.
So I think it's interesting that Deadpool is up to 235 right now, and X-Men The Last Stand made 234. So it just barely did it, but it still has quite a bit of time in the box office to get some more
moolah going on. Well, surpass it. Have you seen the petitions online to get him to host SNL?
You know, I saw the petitions. I did not go into look into it anymore. I saw one saying that there was a reason why he couldn't, and they wanted to do it back in the 90s. But
I haven't looked into any stories. I've just seen a whole bunch of people saying, let's get him to host. And Nerdist posted a video, or a story, I should say, saying why Deadpool will not host SNL. And so it's not going to happen, but I think it would be hilarious just having a guy dressed as Deadpool and then having more costume on top of that doing a skit. I think it would have been hilarious.
You know, all you have to do is go to any Comic-Con and you will see a Deadpool cosplaying something else.
Oh, yeah. There's so many options for Deadpool. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I saw at Comic-Con one year, we were walking past a comic booth, and the guy runs up to a girl dressed as Deadpool saying, "Spider-Man, Spider-Man, come check this out." And she got so offended. It was just amazing to watch her storm off, and the guy had no idea why.
That's hilarious. So I think this also kind of leads us into something else. Stan Lee announced that he is going to have his last appearance in Canada. So his final appearance in Canada will be at the Fan Expo Canada in September. Stan Lee said, "You know, it's very flattering, but I'm 93 years old. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do it." And so, you know, he's 93 years old and he's still doing conventions. Now, a lot of people freaked out saying it's his last convention. No, it's his last Canadian convention. He's still doing the United States. How many do you think he's going to have left in him here in the U.S., Jeff?
I hope just one, and that one will be FanX in March in Salt Lake City. Now, I can't imagine doing that at his age, because just the number of people you meet, just the number of germs in the air, you know, just, you know, yeah. It's, what is it, 100,000 plus people who may not have showered in 3 days? Yeah, I could see why you wouldn't want to, but at 93, I'm surprised he's still doing it.
Yeah, his handlers make sure that, like, no one tries to shake his hand or anything like that, because, wow, 93 years old, that's a lot to be doing. When a couple years ago, when he was at Salt Lake City Comic Con, I shelled out the cash and got an autograph from him, and his hand was very shaky. His handler had to, I got it on a Spider-Man mask, and his handler had to hold the mask for him as he wrote, and the signature, I mean, it's a Stan Lee signature, but it's not as fluid as a lot of the ones that you see online, just because he's getting old and it's getting harder for him to sign things. Part of me wants him to not do any more, because then all of a sudden that Spider-Man mask of mine becomes a little bit more valuable. But that's just being selfish.
You want him just to retire right now. Don't even,
yeah, just even retire now. Exactly. Yeah. Don't even worry about Canada. Just go ahead and take a picture with me and my mask. No, I wasn't going to pay the extra, I think, that's $80 for that.
Surprised you could afford to get his signature.
Oh, it was.
I shouldn't be saying anything. I'm the one who, I sprung almost $300 to get the entire cast of Star Trek to sign a poster.
That's awesome. The Stan Lee autograph is the only one that I have ever paid for, because, you know, it's Stan Lee. It's one of those things. It's like, how much longer is he going to be around?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. Have you been to every Salt Lake Comic Con and FanX?
I have. And I'm not much one for hero worship. Right. So,
because I'm just looking back, I've got the entire cast of Star Trek, about 4 voice actors and 3 Power Rangers signatures on just various posters. And I'm just kind of thinking, wow, you've only got the one?
I've only got the one, but that one was probably just as expensive as like all of your Power Ranger ones put together.
Yeah, probably.
So, Nate, who we talked about during the trivia, he's got a poster of Serenity that he's had signed by every Firefly actor and actress who has come to Utah. So, he's trying to get them all on there, and it's kind of cool when you can get something like that put together.
Yeah, and with Firefly, at least in Utah, you've had 1 or 2 1 year, and then this year we're getting a couple more. I guess technically just one more that we haven't had, but anyway, that would be easier, but man, my Star Trek one, that was a lot of money. And it's still not complete. I have to get LeVar Burton this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Make sure you get a poster tube to keep the poster in good condition.
Oh, yeah, I've got so many. But I can only hope that when I'm 93, one of my main worries will be, should I go to Comic-Con?
You know, make thousands and thousands of dollars? Or should I stay at home?
Yeah. Do I take off more work? Or do I go indulge? Nah, we'll see. Hopefully that's my 93-year-old problem.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'm not working at 93. But however, Stan Lee makes a killing, because, I mean, there were hundreds of people in line, and most of them had paid at least $100 for his autograph. And, you know, there are some costs involved in that for him with his agents and stuff like that. But even if he only makes half of that in one day, you know, 100 autographs, I would not complain to be that guy.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, so moving on to our next news story. This one is, the timing was just semi-perfect because we talked about this show last week on our TV shows that were canceled too soon. And it's rumored that Young Justice may be coming back. And this is, if you don't remember what Young Justice is, this is the show, the cartoon about TV sidekicks who were not necessarily Justice League material, but they branched off and started their own team. And, you know, the Justice League worked with them. It's had like Robin and Kid Flash and Aqualad. And so Young Justice, it looks like Netflix, it sounds like they are looking at their viewership data for Young Justice to see if it justifies, no pun intended, a... That was bad. It's not even the same word. To see if it justifies having a third season added to it. And I'll tell you right now, I am working on it with my kids getting through that second season. It was so funny at the dinner table tonight. Every Sunday night, we sit down with my family for dinner. And my sister says, hey, did you hear that Young Justice might be making new episodes? And my seven-year-old was, yeah, I heard that. I heard that we have to watch it on Netflix to make it, to make them want to do it. So we're a few episodes into that. And my sister looked at him like, you're seven. How do you understand this stuff?
You shouldn't be knowing what these words mean.
Yeah. But no, I mean, yeah, it was really kind of funny. Are you excited about this?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as I saw that, I immediately started watching it again. I was literally watching it before we started recording. It's amazing. It's just a good show. And I hope that the third season, you know, if and when we get a third season, it keeps the same tone and we get everyone back. It's not everyone, I guess, for those who have seen the second season.
Spoilers!
It's not a spoiler. I didn't say that who dies.
Oh, now I know somebody dies.
Have you not seen the second season?
No, I'm a couple episodes into it. They just added it on Netflix.
Well, you see, I watched it the correct way, week by week, on Cartoon Network when it was first on. So,
see, I am part of the problem. I'm part of why it got canceled in the first place.
Yeah, you didn't watch it enough. No, Cartoon Network. I think Cartoon Network doomed it just because... Yeah,
I actually heard that they canceled it because their demographics for that show was a lot of teenage girls, and so they canceled the show because teenage girls don't go out and buy the toys like the young kids do, and so that's why they canceled it.
But now thinking back, Superboy does have his shirt off a lot, so yeah, I can see why.
That cartoon physique.
Yeah, that's super unrealistic. Anyway, I'm excited. I want a third season. I'm surprised they canceled it. It was so good. And I saw some internet show saying, it'd be really nice if Cartoon Network could have a more, not super adult, but more serious tone of cartoon. Oh, wait, they did. It was called Young Justice and they canceled it. And so I want it back. So everyone listening, go get on Netflix, every device you can, and start watching Young Justice. I don't care if you leave the room afterwards. Just get it.
Go out, run your errands, just watch it.
Yeah, I want my third season. Netflix will automatically start the next episode, don't worry. Or sit down and watch it. You know, either way, but still, watch it.
Okay, so that was one of the shows that we talked about last week. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast, we had a lot of fun talking about shows that were canceled before their prime and before their story was complete. And this Young Justice was definitely one of them. And then this news came. And speaking of last week's episode, we actually got a lot of good feedback. And so I want to go through some of this, and I am going to butcher names because that's what I do. So Nick, he posted in there, he forgot about one that he loved, and it's a good show. Better Off Ted, which is just kind of a funny comedy that is about a company
it's essentially Acme products. They'll make just about anything, and it's hilarious.
Oh, the two scientists are just hilarious. Yes, yeah,
those two guys, if they didn't have those characters, the show would not be anywhere near. But just
you need them, and
it's just hilarious.
So Nick commented on the post saying that he forgot to talk about that one, and Amelia Thalen immediately responded saying that yes, she absolutely loved Better Off Ted, and that was a really good one. And she, another one that she misses is Sports Night. Now, she says she's not a big sports person, but the writing was hilarious in it. And so I'm not a big sports person. I don't necessarily know what Sports Night is. So I'm going to have to look into that one and see what it is. Because John Boyer, he responded to hers and he was like, yes, I absolutely second your opinion on Sports Night. So there we go. We've got a couple people standing up for Sports Night. So even if you
I've heard of Sports Night, but it's not, I never watched it. I'm part of the problem.
If I remember correctly, it's kind of a behind the scenes sitcom / comedy for a sports show, kind of like SportsCenter. So it's not really about the sports, but about like the geeks that are running it behind the scenes. So it probably would appeal to me.
Yeah, maybe.
So another person wrote in, and Jeff, this name might sound a little familiar to you. Mark Dumas wrote in, and he said it's not canceled, but indefinitely placed on hiatus is Luther, which is a show from the BBC starring Idris Elba, and The Bridge. He says those are two of his favorites, and if I remember right, The Bridge is on Netflix and
FX.
It's on FX.
The Bridge was an FX show where I believe it opens up with a body is found on the U.S.-Mexico border, but when they closer examine it, it's actually two bodies, a Mexican and an American, and the American half is on the Mexican border, and the Mexican half is on the American border, and so it's them trying to solve the crime of this like weird serial killer. I don't know. He won't shut up about this show. I know what he's talking about, and I've
that's a dad's prerogative.
He gets excited over those shows.
Hey, you know what? I have heard that Luther is really good, and it's one that I've had on my list. The Bridge I've heard of, but I didn't realize what it was. That sounds kind of intriguing. If you like it sounds like a serial drama, detective, police work kind of a show.
It's one that I know he has binged. Like, I've gotten texts from him when I was out of town saying, hey, what's your Hulu password? Just because season 2 is coming and I need to binge season 1.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So this has been a lot of fun. We've been getting a bunch of feedback lately, and we appreciate you doing that. You know, it's the only thing we're going to ask for from you. We still have our Amazon affiliate links and our Audible trial and stuff like that. So if we have books and things like that that we recommend, we'll put links in the show notes for you to click on. But, you know, we've made the decision that it's way more important for us to get to know you guys than to make a couple dollars here and there. So go ahead and head over to fandompodcast.com/contact for links to our social media, and there's a contact form there if you want to leave us a message that way. You don't have to worry about emails or signing up for accounts on social media or anything like that. So the feedback that we've been getting is awesome, and we would love it if you would keep continuing on. Okay, so for the remainder of our show, we wanted to talk with Jeff anyway, and then it was just fortuitous that he could cover in for Nick. We want to talk to him about magic and pop culture and getting started in magic, because I don't know if you guys know this, but Jeff is a little bit of a magician, right?
Little bit.
Little bit.
I would, yeah.
Probably way more than me.
Well, how many card tricks do you know?
Maybe 3.
Well, hopefully by the end of this episode, I will have taught you the proper places to learn more.
That would be good. So for the next few minutes, I wanted to talk to him about magic and pop culture, and then we're going to talk about getting started in magic and where to go from that. So when I think of magic and pop culture, the very first show that I think of is Arrested Development, and we talked about this one last week too. But the brother Job is a magician.
I believe he prefers illusionist.
He's an illusionist. Thank you very much. How do you feel about the way that they portray illusionists in that show? It's not necessarily the best light.
I don't know. It makes some look better while it makes others look kind of bad. Because it's in the first episode, they openly expose his trick. I mean, I'm not sure if it's a well-guarded secret in the first place, but it's magic is a common theme throughout that, and he just does it terribly, which is sad. But he, I kind of get where he's coming from, because it's hard to be taken seriously when you're like, if you look at Nick's talent, Nick is a great artist. If you ever see his paint, you go, oh, that looks real. Like, I know that person, or I recognize that thing. But with magic, it's like, oh, what do you do? I'm a magician. I do some card tricks. Oh, and then they can walk away. It's like they have to want to see it, kind of. And he's kind of that ideal, please let me show you a trick. And it doesn't usually work out well.
Oh, this one's not on the list that I gave you ahead of time, but it makes me also think of Modern Family, Phil Dunphy. He's one of those guys who is an aspiring magician. Have you seen that one?
I haven't. I've only seen a few Modern Families, but I'm pretty sure anytime a sitcom involves a magician, they're going to be a punchline, which is kind of sad, but, you know, it's still funny. I still find some of it funny.
There's an episode where called Las Vegas, where they go to Las Vegas, and Phil is trying to get into a magician's club, and he's got this whole big act and trick that he's going to audition with, and it just doesn't go over well, and so he's all rejected and sent up to his hotel room, and one of them comes up and says, "No, show me that trick again. I think you deserve a second chance," and things fell into place, and it was just hilarious. So anyway, if you can find that one, I would definitely recommend it.
I'll have to check that out.
So Arrested Development and Modern Family kind of make punchlines out of these magicians. There's a show that I really enjoyed when it came out. I haven't watched it for a few years, but I really enjoyed when it came out, called The Prestige, with Christian Bale.
I love The Prestige. I think The Prestige was the first movie I ever bought with my own money. I love that movie.
You're making me feel old is what you're doing.
Well, you are old, so what should
I am old. Thank you for that very much.
I'm sorry, you're talking to a 22-year-old while you're sitting there hoping not to wake up your kids, okay? You're old.
yes, I am. All right. And anyone older than me, I won't tell you how old I am, so you can feel like that we're in the same boat. anyway, so The Prestige, first movie that you ever bought. Why did you like it so much?
I really love the story, and it's a movie that I legitimately didn't see the twist coming. I'm not going to spoil it because that's one I really want to watch with somebody. But it's essentially, there's two rival magicians who spend their whole time trying to outdo each other and also sabotage each other. And it's has a great twist at the end. It's just, it probably is realistic. It's Victorian era, so I can't really relate to too much of it. But it's two stage magicians just trying to one-up each other. And I don't know, there's something about it that I just really like. It came out at the same time as The Illusionist, starring Edward Norton. So my dad described it as, The Prestige is a great movie with kind of a okay ending, while The Illusionist is an okay movie with a great ending. Like, The Illusionist, if you don't pay attention throughout the whole thing, you're going to want to watch it again because the ending doesn't make sense. But The Prestige, on the other hand, you can just watch and love it. And it's one of those, you go back and you watch it more, and you start noticing things, you know, more and more stuff. And it is one of my favorite movies.
Now, this is the one with Nikola Tesla in it, right?
Correct. This is the one where David Bowie plays Tesla.
Yeah, and it blew my mind when I was like, wait a minute, that's David Bowie.
It is David Bowie. He does a really good job in it, too. He's not crazily dressed or anything. He's I don't know why that would matter. If that's how he wants to play Tesla, he's great in it. He plays Tesla. He builds a machine for Hugh Jackman's character. It's a really good movie, and there's a lot of people in it.
Yeah, there are a lot of big names in it. You know, Batman himself is in it. So
yeah, Batman, Wolverine, Alfred, Black Widow.
They are all in that, aren't they?
Gollum. Gollum is Tesla's assistant, Andy Serkis. Uh-huh. But yeah, there's a lot of big names, directed by Christopher Nolan. It's great all around.
I think one of my favorite things about that film was probably the fact that it showed how much work goes behind putting together a stage act and all the contraptions that are used for sleight of hand and how complicated some of the tricks can get.
Yeah, and how timing plays a factor, and musical cues, and there's just a quick shot in the movie where one of them throws their hat in the air and catches it, and the people playing music have to do a drum roll and hit the cymbal as soon as he catches it. So, you know, it's not just, okay, I'm going to go do my trick. It's choreographed. There's work put into it. You have to have consultants make sure it's done right. You have to have someone off stage with an axe in case something goes wrong. You know, there's a lot more goes into a stage show than you'd think.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool to watch. And, you know, some of that goes into the main plot of it. So if you haven't seen The Prestige, that's one that I would highly recommend.
Absolutely.
Another one that I have heard about, I have not seen this one yet, but that's because it just premiered at Sundance just last month. It's called Slight. And
I've heard of this.
Okay. So you haven't heard about this one. Let me tell you about this one because, you know, I talked about it a little bit with Sean Smithson when I interviewed him, but Slight is a, is a movie about a kid that kind of lives in the ghetto, about a black street magician whose sister is kidnapped by gangs. And he, you know, nobody's helping him out get into, or nobody's helping him with his sister. So he decides to take it on himself and go save his sister. And he uses his street magic to kind of mess with them a little bit, to misdirect them. And yeah, it's the official blurb on IMDb says, a young street magician is left to take care of his little sister after his mother's passing and turns to drug dealing in the Los Angeles party scene to keep a roof over their heads. And, you know, when he gets into trouble with his supplier, his sister is kidnapped, and he is forced to rely on both his sleight of hand and brilliant mind to save her. So it's kind of, he kind of turns himself into a superhero by using his street magic and sleight of hand. So I think that's probably one to look out for. Blumhouse bought that one and is going to be producing it. So hopefully we'll be able to see that one here pretty soon.
I'm excited for it. I've got the IMDb here, and it's got Dule Hill is the top billed person. He was Gus from Psych, I should say. And it sounds pretty good. I like the idea of it being not, hey, watch me do this trick. It's I'm doing this to survive. I think this will help the street magic community realize that, or people, if you see someone on the street doing magic, it might put them in the mindset of, he might just not be doing this just for a buck. This might be his only qualification. This might be what he needs.
Okay.
So that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And then the last one in pop culture that I wanted to talk about before we talked a little bit about getting started in magic, The Great and Powerful Oz. Did you see that one?
Is that the James Franco movie?
Yeah, that's the James Franco one that I was like, I don't really like James Franco, but I'll see it anyway.
I did not see that one. It was on my list of maybes, and maybe I just didn't get to it. But what I understand is he plays a magician charlatan type person.
Yeah, and so, I mean, think about the Wizard of Oz, and she pulls back the curtain. Dorothy pulls back the curtain and sees that the wizard is just a regular person, but he is using...
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly, and that's basically what he's doing, is he's going up against these people with real magic, and he's just the traveling performer back in the day in, like, a caravan. And basically builds a giant zoetrope and a projector to project himself onto smoke to like freak out these witches and scare them away and use magic. I mean, that's kind of the thing, is magic can make you look to be very powerful. I mean, with sleight and with The Great and Powerful Oz, the concepts behind there are used to propel these characters to supernatural status. And I think it's kind of fun just to watch and think, you know, those are just regular people. I could do that if I put some work and thought behind that. So that's one that if you like kind of old-timey magic and you like James Franco, I can recommend. If you don't like James Franco, I don't know, maybe if it's on TV one day, watch it. But I enjoyed it. I haven't watched it since then. But mostly...
Along the lines of using magic to get through something else, Now You See Me, the movie that came out a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with Mark Ruffalo, right?
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo, Jesse Eisenberg, I think his name is. It's about magicians who... I think the tagline in the trailer was, did you just say magicians robbed a bank? And it's okay, the movie, but it definitely shows that, you know, a magician could always be thinking of something, thinking ahead, like having a pleasant conversation with someone, and then later on reading their mind, or in some way, when it's really just, yeah, I remembered that you told me you had a sister, you know, like I'm not psychic.
You know, it's kind of, if you think about it, the Ocean's 11 films could kind of be considered magician films because, you know, their theft jobs are very complicated, but they kind of pull them off like their magic trick.
Yeah, it's the planning, rehearsal, it's really just any sort type of performance, you know, and, you know, pickpocketing is also thrown in here sometimes, and it's... Yeah, anything really.
Cool. So with all of these pop culture references, I kind of wanted to give you a chance to talk about how to get started into magic. Because honestly, it's a fandom that I have always wanted to learn a little bit better. But I guess I don't know where to find the resources. When I was serving an LDS mission in Long Beach, California, I found a tiny little magic shop and picked up a couple little trinkets and used that to use like a simple paddle move to like just stump like little children so that I could talk to their parents without them climbing all over us. But
it's a good strategy. You should pitch that.
I should. That should be a class in the missionary training center.
All right, here's how you trick people into listening to you.
You know, I did run into one person for a little bit who was like, you guys are practicing witchcraft. That's not, no. You know, and was like, oh, I guess no, I maybe should have thought about that.
It's never witchcraft. So, in fact, one of the first books on magic, one of the very first books to teach magic, I've heard, wasn't necessarily meant to, here's how you do a trick. It was meant to say, here's how we're doing the trick. Stop killing us for being witches. You know, it's like, it's a boiled down way of saying it, but it was, look, I'm exposing, you see, the coin was in my hand the whole time. I'm not a witch. You know, that's funny. Where the earliest magic books started.
Well, that's cool. So so starting from witchcraft, basically, or anti-witchcraft into what we have today, what kind of stuff would you want to talk about when it comes with magic?
Okay. So with magic, there are websites and magicians who will sell tricks, sell you the method, sell you a DVD that has the trick on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's them figuring something out and wanting to share it with the world, but they don't want to get something for nothing, or nothing for something, I should say. And so they ask a price. If you buy one of those things, that does not give you the right to then go on YouTube and teach it. That's a big problem, actually, in the magic community, is people going on YouTube, exposing a trick, and either just saying, I don't care that they did, I don't care that I didn't create it, or I bought it, I get to do it. You know, there's so many mindsets on it. So there's this group called MAP, or Magicians Against Piracy, where they will do a lawsuit against you. It's copyrighted material. So they will find you, they will shut down your channel, and maybe even, you know, get you legally. So just because you own the trick doesn't give you the right to post how you did it on YouTube.
It's kind of equivalent to saying, well, I bought the music on iTunes, and now I'm going to make 100 CDs and sell them for $1 a piece because I bought the music.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, except because people think, oh, it's just a magic trick. But no, it's how some people are making their living. It's how magicians make their living, is either performing or creating. But all that being said, here's some places you can learn magic for free on YouTube. I chose a few channels, and I didn't just choose ones that, I didn't just Google magic tutorial and pick the first channel. I put a little more thought into it. And when I was first asked to look up some stuff for you guys, my mind immediately went to Jay Sankey. He's youtube.com/JaySankey. And all these are going to be YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, and I'll have links to all of them in the show notes. So if you just, in your app that you're listening to this in, just tap on it, go up to the show notes. You'll be able to click the links, or head over to fandompodcast.com/52. You know, it's the number of cards in a deck, and it's also our issue. Look at that.
Ah, perfect. Couldn't have planned it better myself.
Exactly.
So with Jay Sankey, what's great about him is that the tricks he posts are his. A lot of times it's from even DVDs that he has put out. It's his own thing. He's one of these guys that will sell tricks or sell gimmicks or another way, but he will teach tricks that require one move, one thing of sleight of hand, or one force. You know, it's something that, hey, there's a deck of cards, I could do that trick that guy on the internet showed me.
Oh, that's cool, actually, because, you know, it's the tricks. So, like I said, I was able to do the paddle move, and it, which is a move where you're moving your hand really quickly, basically, and flipping something over. But
that one boils down to a concept called the big move covers the little move.
Exactly.
So by moving your hand big, they don't notice your fingers sliding back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. And I would usually do something big with my other hand, too, to throw them off the trail. Yeah. But I could do that one because that was one move. But then when they were like, okay, we're going to do a lot more stuff in here, and we're going to do this, and they have to do this, that's where I usually got lost. So
yeah.
one trick pony, so to say, that's what I am.
What's nice about Sankey as well is he'll post, if it requires a special gimmick, he could post a PDF and you can just download it for free. And sometimes it's something cheesy that you could make yourself, but why would you bother? He's doing it for you. But other times it's something more complicated. But he was immediately my first thought of creates and gives out his own tricks. And when you shouldn't feel guilty if you learned a trick from his channel. I mean, you also might have to see at the end of his video saying, hey, join my website where you can pay me this much and I'll teach you these tricks. But that's if you like just want to become a magician, not just learn a couple tricks. So Yeah, he was immediately my first cool. thought.
I'm definitely going to check that one out because that sounds like stuff I can do. So who's your next one?
The next one is 52 Cards with a K, 52 Cards. He does some more advanced stuff. He has tutorials and whatnot for controls and stuff. So if you want to be slightly better magician, if you want to be a magician, not just someone who knows cards, I suggest you go through him. He cites all his stuff. He says, hey, this was in this book, or this is a move developed by this guy. So I guess you could maybe argue that falls under the piracy thing, but I don't think it does. Because he's... Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well,
but yeah,
you know, a lot of people want the credit. And so, you know, if it's something like that he picked up off of JSync's free YouTube video and he's saying, okay, here's my way to explain it. See, this is tricky because they're teaching him how to do something. They're not,
The whole teaching magic is kind of a gray area regardless. But one thing about 52 Cards is that it is fairly exclusively card tricks. While JSync will do coin vanishes or other types of illusions, 52 Cards is essentially learn card tricks, which, you know, that's not bad, but it's, if you're have no interest in card tricks, then don't even bother. But
the 10-year-old version of me would have loved a YouTube channel of magic card tricks. That would have, yeah. Well, 10-year-old me would have loved YouTube.
Yeah, that's another thing. I've heard someone say that the greatest magic library in the world is on YouTube right now because there's a lot of stuff.
Stop lying. It's at Hogwarts.
Okay, the greatest real magic library.
Whatever. Yours are just illusions. Hogwarts is real.
Okay, you get Harry Potter here, and I'll have a magic off with him.
I'm working on it.
Don't
give away my future guests.
Oh, cool. Tune in next week. Maybe it'll be here. Who knows?
Tune in next year. Or
next year.
20.
Who knows? You know what? If you want Daniel Radcliffe on the podcast, you have to
not Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter.
Well, he's the closest thing you're going to get for a while.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying, like, everyone listening, if you want to hear Harry Potter on this podcast, share it with your friends. We need it big enough. You know, we're not big enough to have Daniel Radcliffe just yet, but
if you like what you heard, go tell somebody.
Yeah, that was a shameless plug.
Yeah, that's fine. So 52 Cards is all about card tricks. I sure wish there was somebody who would teach me bar tricks.
Oh, bar tricks. Well, aren't you in luck? Because there is this great YouTube channel called Scam School. So Scam School is one that will do a variety of a card trick or do a bar bet or something. And he explains that, you know, this is all a way, it's all a way to meet people. It's all a way to get people engaged, people talking, and then maybe not do a stupid trick and get them to buy you a drink. So what's nice about them is that it's all stuff that they teach and you should be able to remember at the bar. You should be like, if you have a couple of drinks in you, you should be able to remember, all right, now I hold the break, or now I do this trick, you know, or whatever.
So this channel is one that I've actually seen. The horrible transition that I just did there was because I actually knew this one. Because, you know, Brian Brushwood, who's the host of this channel, right. He is a magician, and I listen to Chord Killers, and he's awesome on there. You know, every once in a while I listen to his Diamond Club podcast, and he shows up on some of the other podcasts I listen to. He's really funny, and he's a traveling magician. So I actually first heard him on tech podcasts, which is not kind of his shtick, but he found his way into it. So
yeah, he knows those people.
Yes, he does. Exactly. So yeah, I can definitely recommend this. And if you want a good laugh, go like way early in his archive. And he's got some crazy hair. He's a little bit more conservative now, though. So
yeah, he's getting a few questions like, Brian, what happened to your hair? And he's like, I've decided I'm an adult and I don't want that hairstyle anymore.
I'm an adult with three children, and
Yeah, I'm going to have normal hair. I already have a job where I eat fire and stick nail in my eye. I should probably have normal hair. So, yeah, it's a great channel. It's one that it's always funny. There's always entertaining. And you always come out of it either knowing a way to have a new game with your friends or a new card trick or a simple coin trick. And he has had real magicians on before. I mean, he is obviously a real magician, but he has had actual working magicians. He had Daniel Garcia, who actually made tricks for David Blaine, and he had him on here doing a few things. Just quickly, Diamond Jim Tyler, David Rangel, Rich Ferguson. These are all names in the Magic community that he's got to do his stupid little bar show. He even has a quick cameo by Teller of Penn and Teller. He doesn't say anything, obviously, but
an episode of I think it's called Fool Me by or it's Fool called Us. Fool Us. It's a Penn and Teller show where magicians go and try to fool them, and he didn't fool them. They knew how his trick was done, but they really enjoyed his presentation. So, and that's the thing. I don't know these other guys, but I can definitely the Scam School. Presentation is a lot of fun. He also has a TV show on Discovery Network. He's had a couple seasons. I don't know if they're doing any more. I think they are called Hacking the System.
I would like them to. They're kind of doing something like that on Scam School now too. I think it's called The Modern Rogue is their new series they're kind of launching on the Scam School channel.
Yeah, his website or his web store, Scam Stuff, his tagline is Gear for the Modern Rogue. And there's a lot of really cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I've bought a few things. There's a puzzle box that has two decks of cards in it. And I got that for Christmas for myself. And it was more expensive than I would have spent on cards normally, but
it's the puzzle box. It's really funny. The puzzle box, he said, there's a lot of ways to open it, but it really tells you what kind of personality type you would be in an RPG on the way that you open it up. You're going to smash it like a warrior, or you're going to pick it like a rogue, or you're going to,
we actually solve it. I picked it kind of. I noticed there's a way if you held the box a certain way, the knob turned differently, or they put pressure. So I essentially picked it. I didn't solve it. I picked my way into it.
It got you into it.
Yeah, I got the cards and the challenge coin, so he owes me a drink, technically.
Just head on out to Austin, Texas.
I've heard he's come to a couple things in Utah. I'll wait for him.
That's true. There's the Frog Pants Network stuff that he comes to.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. How about we talk about a couple more?
We can. I want to take a quick mention for Fool Us that you mentioned. That was it's a great show. Season 2 is on CW, and I think the whole second season is on Hulu. And that was a great show. The whole concept was magicians come on. If they can fool Penn and Teller, they got a trophy that said, I fooled you. It had a big FU on it, which was hilarious. For Fool Us. And if you did fool them, you got the trophy and also got to come back and perform on their stage, which is cool enough. Funny enough, Jay Sankey, the first guy we brought up, he also did Fool Us. He did an episode. And he, according to the show, did not fool them. But in reality, he actually did. He made a video saying how I actually fooled Penn and Teller. And he said, the trick that they called me on one thing, and I didn't correct them. And I just didn't want to be rude. I felt I did it. He went on saying he doesn't create magic to fool magicians. He doesn't fool lay people. They're easier to fool, because they're not looking for whatever holdout or
we're easily distracted.
Yeah. And so the whole video boils down to I fooled them, but I don't care that I did or didn't. So it's interesting that he did. But Fool Us is just one of anytime there's magic on TV, really, it has to help. I mean, even back to Job in Arrested Development, if a kid sees that and goes, I want to be that funny, let me go get a magic book, then that's already doing good for the art, for the art form of it. It helps. Anytime we see magic helps.
Definitely. So yeah, this one's a lot of fun. A lot of good performances on Fool Us. It's one that, my wife, I use her a lot to say what normal people like, and because she's, when it comes to fandoms and stuff like that, she's fairly normal, quote unquote. But she sat down and she watched like 3 episodes of Fool Us with me a few months ago. So it's on Hulu. It's on the CW app. It's a lot of fun. Just check it out. There's a lot of YouTube clips of it, which are probably quasi-legal and may or may not be pulled down. Who knows? So
yeah, a lot of there are actually some magicians who have just taken their performance of it and posted it onto their channel, which, if you see something like, there's a guy, Rick Lax. If you see on Rick Lax's YouTube channel that the video of Rick Lax on Penn and Teller Fool Us, I think that's legal. But it's, and as long as they're not openly exposing it, that's when the problem gets in. What's even the best part about watching Fool Us is me trying to decipher what Penn means when he's trying to subtly say what it is. Like when he says, oh, the Jedi were on your side tonight, and trying to figure out what does that have to do with this trick? Oh, it means, oh, okay. Or there's one I still haven't figured out. where he said, what was that rabbit from Bambi? And he started pounding his foot on the ground, like, what was that guy? And then the magician immediately said, well, it was great to be here, and you guys have fun tonight, and left. And so it was, so whatever involving Thumper from Bambi gave enough away. I still haven't figured out what that means. And what makes it, that makes it entertaining for someone who knows magic.
Okay, so I was wondering if that was like, if he was just making stuff up, or if he was honestly like just trying to keep things from giving away his whole act.
Yeah, maybe. There are, like, when, I'll give one away. When Penn says, oh, the Jedi's were on your side, generally means force. Like, he forced something on you because the Jedi used the force. So that's, and he
used the force.
Yeah. Always, always use the force. Believe me, if someone could use the force, they'd fool Penn and Teller because they wouldn't ever suspect, oh, he's just magic.
He's just like, a Jedi.
He's just a Jedi. That's that secret. He's a Jedi. But yeah, it's fun to try to decipher Penn's nonsense.
That's cool. That's cool. So yeah, I'll have a link to that too, see if we can find some links to fool us to put in the show notes as well.
All right, so back to just channels where you can learn some is, there's a guy named Andy Field. I believe his channel is just called Card Tricks, which I don't know how. Oh, no, it's youtube.com/AndyFieldMagic. That's right. Okay, it's not just Card Tricks. His channel will come up just Card Tricks, which I don't know how he got away with that. That's cool.
That's some SEO magic right there is what that's called.
I'm just going to take your word on that. I don't know what SEO means.
Search engine optimization.
Ah, okay then. So he pulled his magic and got Card Tricks as his channel name. But Andy Field is actually lately more performing him, you know, more performing stuff. But he gives away decks of cards at the end of his videos. He also posts tips and stuff, beginner tips. He has a video here, simple tricks really, but he's one that has card tricks varying from minor to major. He'd be more advanced. He's not one that I look at too much more often, but he's British, so he's fun to listen to.
Oi, governor. Oh wait, not that kind of British, I'm sure.
Well, close enough.
It's all the same.
There's a magician I heard a while ago saying that you can learn more from a performance than from a tutorial. And in fact, the tutorial part is actually very disappointing. 9 times out of 10, you know, it's just, oh, well, turns out the coin was just in his other hand. That's not as much fun as, where'd the coin go? You know, so often if you're looking for how to perform, look for more people performing. You know, look at someone else's show. And I know personally from trying to learn a trick, it doesn't feel right. I don't know if I'm doing something right. And then I'll Google, but the creator of the trick, or I'll look back at the video of him doing it and like, oh, it's because I need to turn this way. Oh, okay. So you can often learn a lot more from seeing magic than you can from just being told how.
Well, it's all about performance. It's all about, you know, it's a performance. And so it's like acting. You learn more by watching and seeing how the greats do it than you do by reading about it in books.
Correct. Yeah. In fact, just the other day I was watching a Scam School and Brian Brushwood said this great quote. I don't know how smart I wrote down if he credited it or not, but it says, magicians are guarding an empty vault. So that just sums it up so perfectly of, we have something we don't want you to know, but as soon as you find out, neither of us have anything really, you know, it is just one of the, like, magicians are guarding an empty vault is probably just a perfect way of describing learning magic.
See, and I kind of don't want to know how they're done some of the times, or at least the flashier ones. I don't want to know how it's done because then there's no magic behind it. Then it's no fun. But watching it and seeing this happen is like, whoa, that was cool. How did that happen? And
that's actually part of the motivation behind Fool Us. Penn and Teller wanted that sensation of, what happened? How did that happen? You know, but because they've been doing it for so long that it's essentially now, yeah, that's happened. Yep, you did this.
Yeah,
you did
I know that trick. Yeah. I've done that trick.
Yeah, there's a few people on Fool Us who said, you didn't fool us because we read your book. And it's like, oh, well, that's flattering, but, you know, it's still. But yeah, they just wanted that sensation of wonderment, that childlike thing of, where did the coin go? You know, it's impossible.
Did that really come out of my ear?
Yeah, how much? Try to get some more money out of there. You know, my sister actually used to do that trick to me all the time, just a simple move called the French drop. And I loved it. You know, like, it was amazing. If I were smart, I'd say that's where my interest in magic started, but it's not. it's amazing when the deer in headlights look when you're doing something that no one else in the room knows how you're doing. And if they say they know how you do it, they're either lying or intentionally trying to harm you. So don't listen to those people.
Good to know.
Yeah. Sorry, went on a little bit of a tangent there. So the last channel I thought of was Miss Mag 822, the card trick teacher. He used to have a website called cardtrickteacher.com. I don't know if that is still functional. And he hasn't really posted too much lately. But he does a lot of, again, card tricks. But they're simple. They're well taught, kind of. I should say kind of, because it's literally just his hands that you see. But he's talking through them. He's explaining stuff. And he's another one that has giveaways to get you to watch his videos, I should say. But, you know, they're still fairly decent tricks. There's, again, kind of beginner stuff, but it's one of the first websites I frequented when I started.
That is cool. So do you carry a deck around with you all the time?
Most of the time.
Because I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of these have card tricks in them. So in order to use that repertoire.
Yeah, I've been looking into more branching out of coin tricks and rubber band tricks. Like, lately now, I've been trying to, unless I'm going to work, because I don't want to have to deal with that at work, I carry coins, enough coins for a trick, rubber bands on my wrist, I knew a few, and a deck of cards in my back pocket. And that has me set up to do just about anything if the situation arises. You know, I personally am still, I've been saying all this stuff of like, you can learn here. I still have anxiety about performing. So I still, like, even just doing a simple trick where I'm not technically doing anything, my hands still shake so bad, like I couldn't hold a drink. And I'm working on that. So that's why I'm putting out this challenge to listeners. I will be at Salt Lake Comic Con FanX in March. If you see me and say, I heard you on the Fandom podcast, will you perform a trick for me? I will do it. Unless I'm eagerly trying to get to a panel or in the restroom, let me know. Hey, can you show me a trick? Not right now.
Give me a few minutes. Let me go wash my hands.
Give me a second. Yeah. If you say I heard you on Fandom, will you do a trick? I will do my best to do a trick for you. I will make sure I have a deck of cards, rubber bands, or even I know a few tricks that involve borrowed stuff. So I'm putting that out to myself more than listeners to perform if told to, ask to, I should say.
Cool. I'm going to take you up on that one.
Oh, crap.
So you're guaranteed to have at least one.
Did I say FanX? I meant,
I meant the Canadian Fan Expo that Stan Lee's going to be at.
Yeah, I meant the very last one. But no, cool. It's a personal challenge to myself to try to get out there more.
Cool. And part of me wishes that we had a video channel going on so that we could show some of these tricks from you. But I think you gave me a good list of YouTube channels to put in my playlist. And I'm definitely going to check out some of these and have some fun with that.
So I have kind of a mental trick here that would work on most people if you want to try it.
Yeah, let's give that a shot.
Those things. Okay, so this I don't guarantee this working on everyone. So this is just one of those things. So think of any number between 1 and 10.
Okay.
Multiply that number by 9.
Okay.
With the resulting number, add the two digits together.
Okay.
Okay. Subtract 5 from your new number.
Okay.
Find the letter of the alphabet which matches this number. Example, 1 is A, 2 is B, so on, so on.
Okay.
Think of the first country that comes to mind that starts with that letter.
Okay.
All right. Take the second letter of that country and think of an animal that starts with that letter.
I don't know how to spell that country name. Okay. I'm choosing a different country because I don't know how to spell that country's name. So
okay.
This one may not work on me. I'm just saying. All right. So take the second letter.
Take the second letter of that country and think of an animal that starts with this letter.
Okay.
Okay. And think of the color of that animal.
Okay.
All right. And if everything worked out, I should be telling you that there are no gray elephants in Denmark.
I thought eagle.
Eagle.
Brown eagle. And from Denmark, though, that was the country.
Yeah. So
the first one that I thought of was Djibouti, and that starts with a D, but yeah.
I guess it does. This is one of those psychological ones that most people immediately will go to Denmark and whatnot. So if it worked, if it worked for you, let me know. I mean, obviously it didn't quite work for Brandon, but
I'm a weird person. So if you were thinking gray elephants in Denmark,
I did it to my sister once, and she intentionally thought of a wrong animal because she had heard it before. Instead of just stopping me and saying, "Oh, I've heard this one," she went, "No, I'm going to screw it up."
Leave it to be siblings to screw things up for us.
Yeah, jeez.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for being on. That was fun. I've got a lot to look into. This is definitely something that interests me.
One last thing. There's this joke online by Pete Holmes. If you look up him on Conan, it'll probably be the cleanest. But he says, "Wouldn't it suck to be a magician?" And it just goes on to this, 90% of the audience is trying to ruin it for themselves. And it just goes on and on about it. Yeah, it's, if you just look, Pete Holmes, "Wouldn't it suck to be a magician?" If you're worried about language, look up his Conan appearance. That's your best bet. It's pretty funny. And it's very relatable. Well, to me.
And to everybody else who's going to jump into the magical world of the magical world of fandom in magic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you'll start realizing it.
Okay. All right. So anything else?
No, I think I've rambled enough for one night.
This has been good. Thanks for filling in for Nick and for sharing with us your extensive knowledge in magic and letting us know some places where we can get started.
Anytime.
Appreciate that a ton. With that, I think it's time to say thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast, and thank you for spending your time with us. Be sure to subscribe to us in your favorite podcatcher, like us on Facebook, and send us a message. There are links for all those things in the show notes, and until next time,
are you watching closely?
May the fandom be with you.